Hi, this is Bonnie Wallace. Welcome to Hometown to Hollywood. Today we have Colleen Broomall. Colleen grew up as a child actor on As the World Turns, and she's worked in celebrity journalism since the age of 18, including a full-time gig as the East Coast correspondent of Tiger Beat and the editor-in-chief at Popstar magazine. She founded You're So Beautiful Now, a digital platform for teens, in 2015. She's been featured in both Forbes and Amy Poehler's Smart Girls. Colleen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
I am really jazzed to have you here. You know, I am a really big fan of yours because of the work my kid does. I've watched your interviews with her and with other people, and I love how you keep things really, really positive and inspirational.
Thank you so much. That is pretty much our goal, so I really appreciate that. And it's funny that you say that because, you know, when we're doing interviews, we sort of think in the context of, like, putting it out there for the fans. But when you hear that, like, family members are viewing it and enjoying it, it really means a lot.
Well, it's a big deal. What made you decide to launch You're So Beautiful Now?
Yeah, so definitely a few different factors. And again, if I sound awkward, it's because I'm usually on the other side of things.
Ah, it's your turn now, Colleen.
Yeah, I'm in the hot seat. So basically, you know, I'd worked in teen magazines since I was 18. And over the years, of course, with like the advent of social media and of kind of like digitally altered images and things like that, we started to see a real shift in the way that our readers and viewers saw themselves. So when we were at Popstar magazine, and when I say we, I mean Natasha and myself, who's my co-founder, who's my number two, who you see in all the YSB Now videos, we always would interact with our readers and stuff like that on social media, and we really started to see kind of confidence changing, you know? And that was sad to see. And we also saw sort of this really major increase in negative and gossipy stories because it became all about the clicks and clickbait. And so that inspired us. And then on another level, we'd always worked in teen magazines. So like I was at Tiger Beat, then it was Popstar. And we'd have these really great conversations and get to know these teen celebrities in like a really genuine way. But because of the format and the kind of subject matter, it was like the story would be, here's my most embarrassing moment, you know?
Right?
Right? And yeah. So we felt that we wanted to go like deeper, you know, and share the real stories. And in addition to that, you know, this generation of kids grew up with smartphones. So it's not like for me when I was growing up, I'm in my 30s, but my parents could really protect me from watching bad things or learning about sad things going on in the world. And that's not right anymore. So kids these days are a lot savvier and smarter, and we want to treat them as such, you know?
That's a really good point. You know, it's true. Even, my oldest daughter, who's 28 now, was growing up, it was really easy to just sort of, you know, limit her exposure to certain things. That was much less true of Dove because she was 7 years younger, and she grew up just at the beginning of that truly digital native generation. And these guys do know a lot more now because they're just exposed to a lot more. And I think it dishonors them to not speak to that. What is it? It's like a savvier understanding of the world.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I also think it's like due to that, there's been a cultural shift of like, now it's okay to say that like, you're not okay or that things are sad, you know? Whereas like when I was growing up, it was very much like hiding your feelings and trying to act like everything's perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I like appreciate this generation so much more because there's such a sense of like honesty and like it's a, and like vulnerability, mm-hmm. which I think is really important. And then in terms of like, the, I guess the last thing, which is, you know, what inspired YSB Now was it would take us so long to put together this print magazine every month. And by the time the print magazine came out, like, the stories were old, you know? I remember there was, like, a cover line that was like, no, Zayn's not leaving One Direction. And, like, what? It went, yeah, and then it, like, went to the printer, and it was like, these kids were like, how could you say this? He left the band 3 weeks ago, like, you know? And we're like, yeah, like, it takes a while to print these magazines, you know?
And then so, distribute,
like, yeah, and so we really enjoyed the ability to, like, interact with the readers and to do an interview and upload it that night or like live tweet. So like that was really interesting to us. And so fortunately we met people who saw our vision and believed in us as well and come from a very like software and tech background. And we're like, let's do this, guys. Mm-hmm. You know, so digital it's been a fun ride. Yeah.
For the digital natives. I love it. Well, what do your days look like as editor of YSB now?
Every day is so different depending on where I'm at. One thing that is really neat is that because it's all digital, I can really work from anywhere and kind of make my own schedule. So I was just back east for a little while and, you know, got to spend a lot of time with my niece and nephew and like pick them up at school and stuff like that. But typically I wake up, check my emails, get some stories up, do some social media, get on a call, maybe there's an event. It's not like, it's definitely, when I'm here in LA, the days are like way crazier to the point where sometimes I don't like, no one ever really knows where I am, which I like kind of like because it's like I can decide what I want to do and when I want to do it and kind of like make my own schedule, which is important. But yeah, a lot of it is really just creating, looking for positive stories and creating positive content, you know, so it might be, you know, editing an interview or ends like pulling photos that we like or just looking through social media and seeing like what's happening that day. And I think it's very much not reporting on what happened, but like why it's important, you know? So it's,
I love that.
Yeah. Cause I think like every site talks about, well, like I remember when Zendaya, got a Barbie doll. Yeah. Right. And so that was really important, but everyone's news was like, this was like, I think it was like one of the first, within the first week or two that we launched YSB Now. And I'm like, well, that's great. She got a Barbie doll, but like, how about we talk about why it's so important? So we had a guest columnist who, you know, is African-American, and she wrote about how growing up, there was no black Barbies, you know? And so it's like trying to add that, and not just posting stories because we need to fill room, but like just writing about things that matter. Like I'd rather do like three cool, important, compelling stories than like 10 fluff, you know, like, okay, here's Taylor Swift's new music video.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Unless there's a reason that it matters.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Which in some cases there may be.
Totally.
But I love that. I love the creation of context because that's completely missing. And it's a lot harder to do that. I mean, it's really easy to just like slap up, oh, this is the news. Like, yeah, but why is it news?
Yeah. Why if there's do we one care? Thing that like I hate the most, it's like the two words throw shade.
Oh.
Like why does every tweet or social media post from like a celebrity website start with like, did blank throw shade at blank? Like, you can almost, like, predict. It's like Mad Libs, just change names around. And, yeah, so we try to, obviously, keep it really real and genuine when it comes to our content.
I love that. I love that. Do you think that being a former child actor has made a difference to how you approach your work?
Yeah, like, 100,000%, and in so many different ways. Like, people... It gives me a unique perspective 100%. So like, you know, I remember, I mean, it happens all the time where it's like, you'll be at a press junket or something like that. And, or some, you'll hear somebody from like another publication be like, oh, well, so-and-so I interviewed them and they were really rude. And it's like, okay, hey, how about what you don't know is that they worked like a 14-hour day and had to do this 10-minute interview. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you have no idea like how hard they're working, what they're going through. And that kind of thing. Right.
Yes.
And so it's like, so it's like, for me, it's like when I'm doing an interview, I almost want to make it like fun for the talent, you know, cause I know they've been running around like lunatics all day or like, well, always if I know a talent has been, this is so random, I go on a lot of tangents, but like we, there's a new band called, well, it's all the time that this happens. For example, Fifth Harmony, it was like their first New York press trip. And they were doing interviews all day long, like running around like crazy. And at the time, they were probably like, you know, 15 to 18 years old. I don't know off the top of my head. Sorry, Fifth Harmony fans.
But they were young.
Yeah, but I was like, let's do this last interview. Let's do it at a bowling alley. And when they got there, we had all this food out for them. And they were just like, oh, my God, we haven't eaten all day. This is so much fun. Oh, my God, we can take our heels off. And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, so in that level, it really, I think, makes a difference. And I know, you know, all the things at stake and all the things that go on behind the scenes, which I think is important. And then just, you know, one thing, when we started YSB Now, it was very much about bringing positive stories to fans and stuff like that, you know, to like the fans of the celebrities. But like, this might sound weird and I even feel weird saying it, but like one thing I try to like convey to the talent themselves is like, it's not, this isn't everything. You know what I mean? Basically, yeah, I was on As the World Turns from when I was like a baby to when I was about 5 years old. And it was just treated like a hobby, you know? And I remember I started, you know, regular school, and people, like students that were older than me would come up to me and be like, you were in a Kix commercial. How much money did you make? Oh, you're a soap opera star, like all this stuff. And it was felt weird. Mm-hmm. Like I was so young, but I still felt weird about it, you know? And also like, I was starting to come to that age where I'm like, wow, like people find that I was on TV and they don't care about, they automatically like me.
Yeah. And you can feel how disingenuous that feels. Which yeah. makes you feel unsafe.
It's, yeah. And so like, I was that young. And again, I was not like famous. Like this was just like a little thing. It was like a side hobby or whatever. I was not on the level of like being on Disney Channel or like being a musician where you're touring around the world and playing stadiums. And so, I just want the talent that I work with to feel good about who they are, not just feel like I'm talking to them because they're famous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you convey that. You convey that. Yeah. I really love that. And I think that's why people enjoy talking to you.
Thank you. You know? I appreciate that. And it's like, I don't think 90% of the kids even know that I used to do that, you know, but it's kind of like an interesting part of my life. And, you know, one of the reasons my mom decided to pull me out, which is, you know, I know a lot of like families and parents listen to your podcast, was I basically, it was like in a period of a couple weeks. And so I'm the youngest of four kids and grew up right outside of New York City. And it was like, well, how can we, like people would come up, my mom decided to stay home with us because her family was pretty poor. So like she basically raised her siblings. So she wanted to stay home with us no matter what, even though she was like a feminist and I was brought up with that. It was about the choice, she always said. So basically, people would always come up to them and be like, your kids are so cute. You should put them in modeling. This is before I was born. And she's like they don't, my dad was an engineer. My mom's a teacher. Like they're both retired now, but they have no idea about showbiz or Hollywood or anything like that. And so, one day they were like, well, they're all like 2 years apart. How are we going to put them all through college? Like, we don't want them paying off student loans till they were 40 like we did. And so my brothers and sister started modeling, and then I was born, and the first audition I went on was to play Meg Ryan's daughter in As the World Turns. And I got it, and it became like this crazy whirlwind. I loved every second of it. And then again, it was like when I went into normal school that things got a little weird. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten a Tide commercial, and it was like the second day of school, or a first grade, and they were trying to go for like a 9-year-old, but they really liked me, so they cast me in this commercial, and like the mother who got the commercial was not the mother I auditioned with, and she didn't like kids, and so it was just like not a good day, and so they didn't get what they wanted, and they had to go with like the older kid who was on standby. So the producer, I guess, was like, I'm not going to be able to get the commercial I wanted, but like this, we just have to do this because you only have a certain amount of hours. And I barely remember this, but my mom was just like, you were like 5 or 6 years old and you were so devastated. And like, there was nothing I could do. Like, this was just, you know what I mean? And so like, that was kind of like the first sign that she felt like, this is not like, this is my child. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I didn't make the basketball team. It was like really weird. Like I got fired, like basically, you know,
didn't feel good. Yeah.
And then probably like, and mind you, my mom also, wanted to go back to teaching. So she always said that when her youngest started full time, you know, school till 3 o'clock all day, she was going to start working again. So like she was ready too. So it wasn't just like, but then I came home and I was like, my art teacher, Mrs. Kriegel, only likes me because I'm on TV.
Oh, how awful.
And my mom liked that. And it was like, but the thing, I was like a super happy kid. Like it wasn't like I was happy, but these things just really kind of, my mom was like, you know what? I think that's it. And I was like so devastated. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to do it forever and ever. And, she always said you could take the kid out of the business, but you can't take the business out of the kid, you know? And so I'm grateful that I had that experience. And it was great and it paid for some college and, you know, but it was an incredible experience, you know, and so that was kind of, I was forced into early retirement.
At the age of 5?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you remember much about your time as a child actor?
Yeah.
You were really, really young.
What's that? Yeah, I was super young. All, like, my memories are super fun and great. I was on As the World Turns, still keep in touch with, like, a lot of the cast members. Just, like, really fun times. They were really good to me. I did a lot of commercials. That was super fun. In the summer on As the World Turns, there was, like, a beach club. So my brothers and sister would be extras. And be eating potato chips and running around. And it was just, like, it was just really great, like, family memories, you know, booking modeling jobs with my siblings. It was definitely, you know, just a great, great experience that I really loved, you know. There wasn't, you know, obviously I just shared those two stories about, you know, that kind of caused my retirement. But, before that, it was all super positive. Like, I don't have any kind of negative associations with that at all. It was really treated like, you know, extracurricular activity for sure.
That's beautiful.
Like, I remember when we got, like, I had no idea there was money involved, like, anything. Like, I remember if we booked a commercial, we got to pick out a new toy at, like, Kmart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, that's, you know. And my mom said, she's, like, it's really good for, like, all right. So it's funny. Like, again, I go on a lot of tangents. But, like, there was, like, a Colleen Brumel lookalike contest. Like, all these things. And my mom really hid it all from me because she didn't want me. They wanted me, my mom and dad wanted me to be humble, you know. And so, I remember graduating high school, and it was my high school graduation party, and all these freaking things came out, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, like, this is really wild. And so there's this article, because there was a Colleen Brumel lookalike contest at some mall in, like, Virginia, and they interviewed my mom, you know, about it, and she said, you know, it's a really great way for them. It's like, they're very professional, like, they're learning really good skills at a young age, and it's, like, really good. So it was a really great experience. And then it was funny because one of the quotes, you know, again, I'm like 5 years old on the soap opera, and they were like, do you think she'll do this forever? And my mom was like, well, they say she's a good actress, but at 5 years old, like, how much are you really acting? You know, like, something along those lines.
It's kind of true though.
Yeah, but the funniest part about that article was that they asked me, I guess, what I want to be when I grew up, and I was like, I want to be a waitress or, like, a writer, you know? And when I was like 16, I was a waitress at Friendly's. And then when I was like 18, I was published in Teen Magazine. So I was like, I'm 18 and I've accomplished all my life's goals.
Yeah.
Like, what's next?
That
you know?
One.
Yeah.
I love that. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can do many things in your life, especially these days. You can sort of have many lives over the course of your life, which I think is
Yeah,
really
and
fun.
I think it's important, like, my biggest, like, takeaway, I mean, not takeaway, but just, it's like, it's all about the journey, you know, it's all about the journey, and there's no, like, right or wrong way, there's no race to the finish line, like, it's, you know, 6-7 years ago, I was, like, nannying, catering, like, doing stuff like that, because I just wasn't sure, like, what my next move was, and, like, that was okay, and I'm really grateful that I did that, you know, and it also gives you perspective, you know, like, I remember I was, like, walking dogs, like, helping people organize things, which is, like, hilarious on its own because I'm the most disorganized person ever. But then I got this job as editor-in-chief of Popstar. Like, what are the chances of that? And, like, moving into that world again, you know, I'd see people really, like, not appreciative for what they were doing. And I'm just, like, I literally was, like, serving croque monsieurs, which I still don't even know how to pronounce, like, on a tray a couple years ago. Yeah, exactly. And my mom's a French teacher, so sorry, Mom. But, like, yeah, like, so that perspective is so important to have. You know, if everything fell into my lap immediately, like, I would not be, like, where I'm at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel really strongly, too, that you know, if a kid, as a kid, is truly interested in acting and everything that entails, whether it's just, you know, your local community theater or school stuff, or you end up doing something that we would call bigger, like in film and TV, that the skills you pick up doing that, they serve you all your life, no matter where it goes. I mean, most child actors don't continue to be actors as adults. Most don't.
And guess what? Like, that's okay.
It
you
is
know?
Okay.
It's like, it's not about, like, that's, and that's one thing, too, is it's like, you know, I remember, like, a couple years ago, there was this photo that went viral, and it was, like, one of the kids from, like, Lizzie McGuire, and he was working at a mall in like a Santa, at one of those Santa things. And it bothered me so much that this went viral and people were making fun of it, because it's like, what's so funny about that?
Yeah.
Like, he's doing that now. He's not acting right now, and that's what he's doing. And why is that, like, why do people are so quick to, like, try to bring someone down or judge someone? Like,
yeah.
You know, somebody could have taken a picture of me, not like, when I was on a soap opera, it's not the level of like, you know, it wasn't a major level at all, but it's like, why starring on a TV show for the rest of your life is at the end of the day, that's not technically going to bring you happiness. Mm-mm. Like just follow what makes you happy. Don't think about what everyone else is going to think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You can't do that. I mean, worrying about what other people think and making your personal life decisions based on something that is out of your control, something that is external to you, is a brilliant recipe for unhappiness.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just cannot. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I was thinking about it earlier, like, in terms of, like, what we were talking about with the journey, is it's, like, everything doesn't have to happen immediately. You know? It's, like, you know, I remember back, geez, like, 20, probably almost 15, 20 years ago, it was like Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears were like the two big pop stars, and Pink and Mandy Moore were like in the background. Like they weren't getting the accolades or the attention or the sales. And like now the two of them, like look at on the biggest show on television and the biggest record in America, you know? So it's like really important not to compare your journey and yourself with like other people. And I think that works everywhere in life, but especially in this industry.
I love that. And I think it does work everywhere in life, totally. And I think in this industry, it's just amplified.
Yeah.
You know. What are your thoughts about really young kids in film and TV?
I mean, it's great, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, from mm-hmm. my perspective, I think that it's really a great experience for a kid. It's very enriching. I think that it's important for them to have a kid and have their own life and not be just this character or this star, because that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's when it's like, I remember interviewing Raven Simone back when she was on That So Raven, and she's like, I still got to take out the trash. Yeah. You know, so I think it's really important that it's like the parents are the boss, you know, and I think that when that gets screwed up, where's the accountability? Like, who does the kid have to answer to?
Yeah, that's where things get dangerous and can go in a really unfortunate direction. I every parent that I know of a successful, grounded, not crazy young star, they keep it as real as they can. And I think that's one of the secrets to success.
Yeah, and it's like, I think, how do I word this? Like, it's not like... It's almost like when you're running in a track meet, no one else's time matters. It's your time.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for actors and families, where it's like you might see one kid getting this and you're not there. And it's like, well, it's okay. That has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's important to not feel like a competitive nature with peers or whatever it is. And it's hard not to when you're in an audition room with someone and you're competing for a role that you really, really want and someone else gets it. It's hard to not compare yourself, but you just can't do it.
Mm-mm.
Like you really can't. And you just know that, you know, I'm not like I'm a pretty spiritual person, but I just think, you know, there's like a plan for everything. And there's been so many instances where, you know, someone's heartbroken because they didn't get this part. But if they had gotten that, then they wouldn't have gotten this.
We have a bunch of examples of that in our own lives. And it's just, it's so helpful to be able to go, oh, right, you know, I really wanted this, but if I'd gotten it, then these other things that have changed my life for the better would never have happened, could not have happened. You kind of have to trust the process.
I agree, like 100%. And sometimes it's hard, you know, like sometimes it really tests your like, I don't even know. But, you know, it's there... There's so many, it's like, and I always say this to like different people I know in the industry, not even, you know, kids, but adults too, where it's like, you pick the most difficult industry in the world. Like I could never do it because it's not like accounting where you go or law school where you're going to study so hard. Okay. You get into the best law school, you pass your bar, and then you get hired by this firm. It's like, it has nothing to do with merits a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, it's just so weird. And so it's, I couldn't imagine, you know, it's just, it's impossible. And so, like, I think another thing in terms of, like, is that I think it's important to have, like, outside hobbies that fulfill you. Because if you base everything off of auditions and things like that and what you get and what you didn't get, it's not, it's just so unhealthy.
It's not healthy. I talk to people a lot about this. For one thing, you know, people hang their identity on being an actor. If they're an actor, it's like, I'm an actor. It's like, no, you're not. You're a person who acts, but you're a person. And it is good for you in every single way to develop other skills and interests. And hey, it doesn't hurt you as an actor to do that too, because maybe that'll be part of how you get cast.
Yep.
If you're, you know, good at the violin and they need that, you know, it's like you can justify it that way.
Totally.
If you need to, hopefully you don't need to, and you just feel like it's okay to let yourself be a well-rounded human being.
100%. I remember I said to an actress friend of mine, who was, you know, really down because she had had a little while where she wasn't getting anything. And I was like, you know, I'm like, when you listen, I was like, when you pass away and it's that time, I'm like, you think that someone's going to be giving your eulogy and reading off your IMDb credits? They're not. They're, people are going to talk about who you were and how you made them feel. Like, I love that Maya Angelou quote.
Yes.
But it's so important not to put your entire self-worth based on a resume and based on something arbitrary.
And out of your control.
100%. 100%. You know?
Yes. I've seen you in interviews say that pop culture magazines felt like a lifeline when you were struggling as a teen. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So when I was, like, I grew up, I mean, I'm sure as you heard me say, like, I had, like, a really picture-perfect life, you know? And I think when you're young, you don't realize that as much until you're older and you look back and you're like, wow, I had, like, the best childhood. Like, could not have asked for better parents, better siblings, better life, all the above. And then when I was 13, my oldest brother started acting, Tom, just started acting like not himself. Like, he was like my hero. He was so smart, like football team, model, just like all, like just awesome. And he just started acting super weird. He went to Villanova, like failed all his classes, failed out. And it, my mom, who had like a master's degree in psychology, couldn't even, you know, figure out what was going on type thing. He eventually got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. But I was at that age where I'm like 13, 14, where it was like, you can't have friends over the house.
Yeah.
You know, because he was, you know, not well. And, you know, of course my friends didn't understand it. Like, they'd be like, your brother, ha ha ha, he's so funny. And it's like, no, like, and back then too, like what we were talking about earlier in terms of like vulnerability and talking about things, it's like back then, like there was no dialogue about mental illness. I didn't even know what that meant. It was called manic depression. I had no idea what that meant.
Yep.
And I think my parents were, like, trying to protect me. So he got back on medications, went back to college, like, started, things were good. And I was a sophomore in high school, and my brother was killed in a car accident, my other brother. And so, like, my, you know, it was just everything came crashing down. And it, again, it's like those things put things into perspective, those tragedies. And so, like, I remember I was literally crying in my mom's arms because I didn't make the softball team, the school softball team, and then I didn't make the school play. And I was like, oh, I'm such a loser. Like, I'm a has-been. Like, I was hysterical. And then, like, literally 2 weeks later, she's crying in my arms. And it just, like, puts every, like, just everything changed. And so it was really hard. Like, my brother and sister were at college, so it was just me and my parents. And it was, you know, they dealt with it in their own ways. Like, again, my mom, master's in psychology, let's talk about everything. My dad, Irish Catholic, you know, and so kind of put on the show for everyone outside the house, like, everything's okay and this and that, but, like, it was horrible. And so my escape came in the form of, like, teen magazines and teen celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friends and I would go walk after school and go to the store and find new teen magazines, and we'd turn on TRL and vote for NSYNC's video, and that just was like, it was awesome. And so it really, it kind of put this, instilled this thing in me where it was like, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
it's really an amazing thing to be able to do that for other people as well.
Yeah.
Kind of pay it forward a little bit.
Well, the teen years are hard enough
right.
already. without absolutely overt tragedy, which so many people have to deal with on top of that. And, you know, we did too. And it's, you know, Dove was 15 when her dad died.
Yeah.
And
I was 15 when my brother died. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just really tough because you're old enough that people think you should have the tools to cope with it, but you just can't.
Yeah. And you're not, it's like people aren't bringing you teddy bears.
No.
But you're not part of the adult dialogue. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And you're still going to school because you have to. And people expect you to move on really quickly. It's like, that was 2 weeks ago. It's like, oh, what?
Yeah.
You know, there's a hole in my heart and my life. And mm-hmm. that hole will never really, it never really closes up fully. It
doesn't, yeah.
And so, you know, anything that can help you get through that, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it's healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
I take that back. Not anything.
Yeah, no. but yeah, so like that definitely, I think, was a very like, you know, yeah, it definitely shaped, you know, who I am and wanting to be able to lift people's spirits in mm-hmm. however I could. And then it just mm-hmm. turned out that I started working in teen magazines and I'm able to do that. And I feel so grateful. And, you know, adding to what you just said, like in terms of like, you know, Dove losing her dad, like that, you know, is so heartbreaking. Like just knowing like that on top of that, dealing with being in like kind of like the public eye and that, it's just like wild.
It's not easy. It's not easy. And that's a whole other conversation, you know, about how people in the public eye can become, we were talking about this earlier, objectified, you know, and you just don't really believe that they're real people with real feelings and real struggles and things on their plate. But I can tell you, you know, everybody is, everybody is. And it's good to bear that in mind. And maybe it's even helpful for people who, you know, aren't in the public eye to remember that just for themselves. It's like, you know, everybody's got struggles. You're not alone.
Totally.
You're not alone.
Yep.
Even the people that you look up to.
100%. You know, like the people that you just think like, oh, like, look at her. She's so pretty. She has this. And it's like, you have no idea what people are dealing with at all. And there's, you know, there's been times where it's like, I know what someone's struggling with. They don't, you know that I know. And I'm just like, oh, like, I just want to make it better somehow, you know? It's really, really tough.
But we're not alone. None of us are alone in our struggles.
Definitely not.
I think it's really, really helpful to remember that. And what you're up to with YSB now is part of that conversation because you do really keep it real. And again, I just love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. I would love to talk about social media.
Yeah, sure.
Social media. Impact on actors and artists, impact on youth and culture.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah,
about that?
All the above.
Right?
It's funny. I was just thinking about it today. I'm like, you know, when I tweet something about me, it gets like 3 retweets. But when I tweet a picture with like Ross Lynch, it gets like 500. So I feel that myself. No, you know, it's like it's fun. It's so funny because we ask every celebrity we talk to about social media, but now I'm kind of in the hot seat. I think social media is amazing because you can connect to so many people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when my brother died, if I could see, you know, I just feel like it's such an amazing way for people to connect to each other and also in a safe way where it's like you don't have to put your full name on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you can really open up about anything you want to open up about and find people to connect to. But I also think that on the opposite end of it, it could be so dangerous because people are so nasty, and I don't know what it is about social media that makes people decide that they are going to be nasty and horrible and evil, and it's awful.
I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say I think it's the lack of accountability.
Yeah.
People do and say things on social media that they would never in a million years do in front of people or say.
Yeah, and I think that they don't think celebrities see it. And it's mm-hmm. like, hey, guys, it's Colleen right now, and I've watched every star look at their social media. They're going to see it. So it's like, you have to watch what you say. And it goes back to what we said of, like, just thinking that because someone's famous, they have the perfect life. It's like, no, everyone has, like, their own issues, even more so, too, I think, when you're on that, at that level, it brings so many different things, like, into the equation that you have to deal with. I've seen social media in a really sad way impact people because I remember this kid in a boy band said that he couldn't go to a party because he didn't have enough Instagram followers.
What?
Yeah.
You mean like he wasn't invited because he didn't
It was like an industry party. And they said he can't go because he doesn't have 100,000 Instagram followers. Another teen actress told me that she saw this designer. Like a designer, you can buy them all. It wasn't like, we're not talking about like Chanel here. And she loved the dress. And she's like, I would love to wear it for the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. And they were like, oh, you don't have followers. And it was like when she was just starting out, and now she's like, you know, doing so much, but it's just like, what? And it's like, these are kids. Yeah. Like, what the heck?
They're kids.
Yeah. And then in another way, it's like, what's unfortunate is, like, people define themselves based on social media, and it's not just, like, up-and-coming people. So that's another story that, like, really inspired YSB Now is... But I'm very Irish. You guys can't see me, but super Irish. You could vouch for my freckles.
You're so young.
My parents make this like amazing corned beef dinner every year. We have family friends over, and so my dad invited a friend of his, and the daughter came, and the daughter's like 15, and she took my phone. And she's like, "Can I follow myself on Popstar on Instagram?" I'm like, "Sure, totally." She followed, liked, commented on like my account, Popstar, and like all this stuff. And she was like a really cool kid, so I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that's so sad. Like, it made me so sad. And then now it's, like, just in the last few years, you see it's, like, only about followers. So it's not, like, I love acting. It's not I love music. Like, this is what I want to do. It's, like, well, I have 5 million followers, so now I'm going to record a song and make money. You know? And I think that that is really dangerous, and we're not going to see the kind of ramifications of that so many years from now. But when you have a 12-year-old kid with 7 million Twitter followers, Instagram, because that's, I feel like, the new thing.
It's Instagram, yeah.
You know, where's that, like, what are they going to do when they're 18?
Yeah.
Right? So it's, like, I think it's just, it's scary. It really is, because that, at the end of the day, the next social media app's going to come in, you know, and it's going to be really interesting to see, like, this kind of influencer culture. I don't think it's going to stick around at all. I really don't.
I kind of hope not, because yeah. I think it's mostly really toxic.
Yeah, it's totally toxic, and it's, like, it's interesting, too, because it's, like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, like, let's do an interview with so-and-so, and then the publicist is like, they don't want to do it because you only have 50,000 Instagram followers. And see, why it hurts them is because, like, you can post pictures of yourself on Instagram or, you know, whatever, but, like, if you want people to really get to know you or more people to get to know you, I think it's important to do interviews. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So there's that aspect of it too, where it's like there needs to be something there. There needs to be substance. There needs to be something behind the 8 million followers. And I see now it's like in terms of like within the industry and other press, like they don't really, that's not really a huge deal. It's more so about, because like anybody could have 8 million followers, but what else is there? You know what I mean? There has to be something beyond that. What's the compelling side of it?
There has to be substance.
Yeah.
And this is true just no matter how, I'm thinking about, there's been a profound shift and it's completely social media based. And I think also that shows like American Idol and those sorts of shows have also fueled this shift. But 20 years ago, the number of people who wanted to be actors was X. And now it's like 5X or something. And the difference is people really just want to be famous.
Yep.
And there's an interest in being famous for the sake of being famous now that didn't used to exist. And it's, you know, everybody, there's always a desire to be powerful. And there's an association that, you know, fame will bring you power. But I just think it's really bad for people to want to be famous for the sake of being famous. And I think there's a profound misunderstanding that you can just decide you want to be famous and then go for it. Because you've seen it happen kind of on some
of
the shows.
And like
the talent.
And like I'll be the first one to tell you that it's like if your kid says, I want to be famous, and you're like, okay, time to be an actor, that's like the worst thing you can do.
Totally.
Because, well, why do you want to be famous? I think that's the question to ask.
Yeah, I think fame for the sake of fame, it just takes you down some really dark pathways. And there's also, it's kind of insulting, you know, for the people who've spent years of their lives
honing like, their craft.
And studying and working.
And going to 129 auditions before one callback. Yeah. And then this kid with 1 million followers gets to cut the line and get a part. What's that about?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's a healthy thing.
Yeah, and so it's interesting, off the record, when we ask, like, if we interview a social media star and they're like, what do you mean social media is everything? It's so interesting to see. And so, well, one thing that I'll say is, like, in terms of that changing, I think it will change, because if you look at all our most viewed videos on YouTube, because we just launched a YouTube channel, it's all the real actors and singers. It's not social media stars at all.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. Okay, everybody.
Because there's nothing aspirational about that.
There isn't.
Yeah.
Being famous for the sake of being famous is a very hollow thing, mm-hmm. and you can't hang a life on it at the end of the day. What do you think is going to be next for social media?
What do I think is going to be next, like, in terms of, like, what aspect of it would you say?
I don't know, like, trends, and maybe you just answered that a second ago by saying that the trend is maybe toward authenticity.
Yeah, I think that authenticity is going to come in a big way. I think that social media is going to be used more for content versus, like, selfies, you know, where it's like, okay, I made this short film, like.
Similarly, segueing, let's talk about fame. We've been talking about fame, but you're in a unique position to see what it can do to the artists who have it and to the young people who want it. What are some of the things you've learned about fame specifically?
I think that fame is so fleeting. Like, you can't define yourself and base your worth on fame. When you do that, you're going to set yourself up for disaster, because someone like Beyonce comes around every 20 years, you know? You have to be fulfilled through your work, through your family, through your friends, through making a difference, because fame does not mean anything. Grab an issue of Tiger Beat from 5 years ago. Where are most of those kids? Like, so fame should never be the goal. The goal should be following your dreams, pursuing your passion, and wanting to, you know, empower people or enlighten people or just make some kind of difference with what you're doing. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because it's just, I just don't think it doesn't mean anything. There's nothing to it. You know, I mean, there's really nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I remember I interviewed Harry Styles, and I was like, what would you do if you just had a day where no one knew who you were? And he's like, I don't think I would do anything differently. I don't, you know? And so the times where I see the fame really, like, changing people is when they start to not do regular things and not be regular people, because, they just start to define themselves by the fame versus who they really are, you know? Like Lindsay Lohan, like, I think that she just started defining herself by the celebrity who's Lindsay Lohan because she didn't have the balance and the structure at home, and then it's only because of fame, and then where is she now?
Yeah.
You know, I think fame is something that comes, like, as a result of something else that you're doing. So it can't be, like, the only thing that you're doing. Like, you know, the Kardashians, like, that is what it is, and, you know, whatever, but it's like, yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that, but, like, I think that fame should not be the goal. It just should be sometimes something that comes with what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know? And, yeah, if you're chasing after fame, you're chasing the wrong thing.
I agree. Olivia Holt's mother and I were talking about this a few years ago, and she said something that really stuck with me, and she said something like, the only really good thing that she could see about fame was that it could give you a platform to help make a difference in the world. It could give you a platform to do something good. She said, other than that, there's just nothing really good about it.
Yep, I totally agree.
I agree, too. That stuck with me because it seemed so truthful at the time, and in the several years since then, I'm like, yeah.
That was it, yeah.
This is still true for me.
Yep. And I, you know, when I see, it's like, you know, look, I've been doing the teen stuff for, like, at least 15 years now. And it's, like, when you see, like, so it's, you know, it cycles, right? And so the people you see that were really into the fame stuff, things aren't going good. You can't define yourself by the fame because it's going to go away.
Inevitably. You know? You have to count on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So 100%.
Yeah. And then you don't know who you are, which is really devastating.
Yep. I mean, it's so sad. It's so sad. It's so important to just not think about that, you know, and to be ready for it when it does come, and if it does come, but to know that that's not it. That's so not good.
It's not the goal. Yeah. It's a potential unlikely result
mm-hmm.
of the work.
Yep.
Yeah. But you better love the work, because the work is real work.
Yeah, exactly.
Any advice for young people who want to be in film and TV? Other than don't chase the fame.
Yeah. I think it's all about having different life experiences, like learning about the world, reading as much as you can, read a lot, work really hard, and don't put a timeline on yourself, and don't compare yourself to other people. I think it's so important to do that. And I think that another thing I'll say is that in terms of like wanting to do film and TV, like we said earlier, it's a really crazy business, and it's not like, again, going to medical school and you become a doctor. It's you know, you can't define your success by like your IMDb credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to, like, if you love acting, okay, why don't you take a screenwriting class and, like, write your own parts or, like, learn what a producer does. But, like, learn different skills so that no matter what, like, you can be involved in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's so many different avenues and ways to be in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly don't all involve being on camera.
I agree. And, in fact, in my experience, a very large number of people in the industry who are not actors started out with an interest in acting, you know, agents and managers and entertainment lawyers and PR people and directors and screenwriters, and it goes on and on and on, may have fallen in love with acting, especially when they were kids, but then found that there was a better fit for them
mm-hmm.
somewhere. It's like, yeah, I like, love so the industry, right?
Yeah, so, like, and I don't even know if you have to, like, be somewhere, because I don't know,
no,
if I'm, like, rambling.
I'm good.
So, like, basically, you know, in my life, I lost my other brother when I was, I just basically moved out to California working full-time at Tiger Beat, and it was, like, the worst thing that ever happened. And I'm like, I could stay out here and just, like, whatever, but I think my parents and my sister really need me to be back east. And so I didn't really know what I was going to do next. I was still in SAG, so I'd like do extra work, make some money doing that. Like, again, this is the time that I was like doing random odd jobs and just trying to figure it out. And I booked a movie, and it was like, it was like, I went because I played basketball growing up, so they needed like extras to, and I'm like, well, I could probably work on it for a couple weeks, because they need, like, core background extras or whatever. And they were still casting for one more speaking part, and, like, I got it. And, like, what are the chances of that, you know? And so it ended up going to Sundance. Like, it was, like, really a great experience and really fun. It was, like, this little indie movie. And people were like, you need to get back into acting. And I'd always wanted to do it again, you know? I was, like, yanked out. And so I, like, was like, all right, like, yeah, I'm going to try this. And I got, I got a manager and an agent, but of course it was like the first two people. Okay. So that's another piece of advice. Like, don't, like, and there's a journey for everything, but like I signed with like the first two people that were like, yeah. And it was like, I had no auditions. Like, it was like a disaster. And then I was able to get out of those contracts and sign with like a good agent. And for like a month, I started going on like good auditions, like, you know, for a couple lines on How I Met Your Mother, like things mm-hmm. like that, and like getting callbacks and stuff. And, but then at the same time, I started getting calls to start freelancing for teen magazines again. And so it was like at this, I think I was probably like, you know, 25, 26. So it was like, all right, I just drove like an hour and a half to do this audition for 1 minute. I'm like, this is not for me right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad I had that experience of like, well, maybe, whatever, you know? But it was like, no, like I like doing the behind the scenes stuff more, you know? And I think that that's like super important. And, yeah, so I did that movie and that was really fun. But then I decided like, okay, and maybe one day again, I'll be like, sure, let's try this out. But like right now, like I'm happy doing what I'm doing. But I think it's important to like just give yourself time and have patience. You know, there's no like right or wrong way. It's all about trial and error and kind of like deciding what's right for you and not letting other people, like not judging yourself based on what other people think you should do or say you should do. Obviously, your parents' opinion's important. Other people's opinions are important, but just, like, really knowing in your heart, like, well, this is right. This is wrong. I like this. This makes me feel good. This doesn't make me feel good. But yeah, that's another thing is I just be like, go on this audition for, like, a car commercial and be like, oh my God, are they going to call me? Like, you know, I'm just like, I could not do this with my life. Like, I could not deal with that, you know? So it gives me even more respect doing it at an older age and seeing how much, like, craziness is involved with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and just because you love something and you may even be really good at it doesn't mean that that's what you should do for your living.
Yeah.
Maybe if you 100%. Love something and you're good at it, you can find a way to have it in your life that isn't like, this is how I pay my rent.
Totally.
You know?
100%.
And I think it's good to remember that.
Yeah.
Because for most of us, we have more than one thing that we really enjoy and that we're good at.
Yep.
And I think it bears considering, like, huh, maybe I can just have this be part of my life. It brings me joy. It's part of who I am, but not what I do.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's important to remember, like, you know, let's say that, you know, you move to LA when you're 15 or 16, which, you know, and your family makes that decision and you get a couple parts here and there, but, like, that's not the end all be all. Like, you have your whole life to figure out what it is you want to do, and you don't have to stay doing that. You can't base, like, all of who you are on what you get and what you don't get, because you're so much more than that at the end of the day. You really are, you know?
So much more. And besides that, when it comes to this business, which, as you say, is unique that way, it's not like, you know, you do the work and then you become the thing. It's like, no, you do the work. You could be insanely talented, perfectly trained, amazing, best actor on the planet. But if the stars don't align for you and the timing doesn't work out, you may never, ever, ever, ever book anything still.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's so much that's out of your hands.
Yep.
And you're either okay with that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in many cases, maybe you don't want your life to be dictated by what other people decide.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. And, you know, creating your own things and being creative in your own way and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I believe in that. I love this trend toward self-created content.
I mean, that's exciting. And that's, like, another thing where it's, like, social media, really positive side of that is, like, YouTube. Mm-hmm. I, like, thank God YouTube didn't exist when I was in high school, because there'd be weird videos of me, like, dancing to NSYNC songs and being like, please let me meet NSYNC, like, you know.
Oh, we know you have those somewhere.
But they're somewhere. They're on VHS. My one friend, I remember, like, 10 years ago, she's like, dude, those videos could never come out. But yeah, it's a really amazing way to create your own content and get it out there and get it seen. And you know what? It doesn't matter if, like, 10 million people see it or 10 people see it, because you created something and that's important, you know?
I love that. And that's kind of the flip side of what we were just saying a second ago. It's like, you know what? It isn't actually all out of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It can totally be in your own hands if you take that initiative, if you write your own screenplay, if you put up your own stuff on YouTube.
And I think, and it's like, you know, the work has to be put in. I remember a friend of mine, so he, you know, he decided, like, I want to be an actor, and he moved to LA. And this was, like, a couple years ago, right in the heat of that social media thing. And this kid who had way more followers than him or whatever, my friend went up to him and was like, oh, hey, so I've been really doing really well on social media. Like, congratulations. And, like, the kid totally blew him off. And he's like, oh, like, so are you going to do, like, acting class? So, oh, you want to be an actor? Like, cool. Like, are you in any classes? And the kid's like, no, I got it on my own. And then it's like, fast forward, like, 3 years or 4 years. And, like, my friend is, like, getting so many amazing acting roles. And this kid disappeared.
Because there wasn't any there, though.
Yeah. It's 100%. So I think it's really important to, like, know what you want and be willing to put the work in to do it.
Yeah. And that's tougher than ever in this age of, like, literally instant gratification.
Because there's so many shortcuts. I remember Rainey Rodriguez, who's just, like, such a doll. I adore her. She said, you know, when she first came to L.A. with her family, and, you know, they really made a sacrifice to come out here and, like, have them pursue this. And she's like, you know, there were shortcuts, but we didn't do the shortcuts. We did it the right way, you know, and that, like, makes the difference. You know,
if you want a solid career and a solid, healthy life, I think you just have to just do the work.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any getting around it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
I'm a believer. Any advice for parents of kids who want to be in this industry?
Yeah. you know, it's crazy because, like, I'm not a parent. I have a little puppy, but that doesn't, even though I want her to be an actress, no. like, it's, you know, I'm not a parent, so I'm only speaking from the perspective of somebody who's just sort of been in it, been around it, and that kind of thing. I think it's really important to keep the boundaries there where it's like, you know, that respect has to be there and the understanding that you're, as parents, you're making a huge sacrifice for your kids to be able to do this. You know, because teenagers are brats to their parents, generally. I mean, really, like I was, you know, that's that age, right? And so I think that as if you, you know, as a kid gets success and starts to get that, they really test those limits, especially when they realize, okay, I'm making this amount of money, okay, they might be paying the rent that month because the parents are making the sacrifice and can't work because they're shuttling you to and from auditions all day. But I think it's really important to be a parent, not a friend, and to just remember, like, don't get lost in the sauce, you know? I remember there was a family and the most, like, humble, like, down-to-earth people, and then the next time I saw them, they were, like, all decked out and, like, all Louis Vuitton. No. And it's, like, you know, just don't get caught up in that. Don't just remember, like, where you came from and who you are and why you're there and that the acting parts can go away. Like, maybe this TV show that you're on is going to get canceled, but, like, the family's always there. And that support and that backbone has to be there. It has to stay there or else the family's going to get totally screwed up. I mean, totally screwed up. And it's, you know, I mean, so I think that is super important. And, it's really hard because, you know, it's like as teen actors and young talent, when they're on a set, they're expected to behave in a professional manner and behave like adults, but they're not adults and their mind doesn't work. It's not, your brain isn't fully developed yet, you know? And, I'm friends with a lot of families who are in this business, and this kid's like was like maybe 16 and none of his friends had a curfew, you know? And I remember I was like looking at my clock and I'm like, hey, why it's like 1 a.m. on a Tuesday night, where is he? You know? And I'm like, he's a kid. You have to make him know that he's a kid. 'Cause this town's a little crazy. You know, there's a lot of like, there's not a lot of rule, like, you know, not a lot of rules, but it's not like you're going to wake up at 8 a.m. and go to school every day. And after school you have practice and you have to do your homework. That's all off the table.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important to really, really like set those boundaries, make those rules, and know that when like they're in your home, they're doing what you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it can just get so blurry and so, for so many different reasons in so many ways, but, definitely. And I think it's like, you know, it's okay if your kid says, I hate you, that's okay. 'Cause you're making rules. You know what I mean?
That's just going to happen at a certain point.
Exactly. 100%.
Part of the deal.
And just 'cause, you know, even me, like when I was in high school, I wasn't in the business, but I remember just being like, well, everyone else gets to do this. And like, da, 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 da. And it's like, no, like you're not everyone else. And this is my house that you live in under my roof and you have to do X, Y, and Z and you have to be home at this time. Mm-hmm. And I think those rules are so important.
keep it real.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share?
I guess like probably like the biggest inspiration like behind YSB now and like not feeling alone would like be my brother that I lost. He took his life. He had bipolar disorder and was struggling with that for like 10 years. 'Cause like I can't imagine like how alone he felt. And so it's like, I want people to come to YSB now and like not feel alone, you know, just feel like there's someone there for them and there's hope and there's some, you know, it's positivity. And whether it's like they laugh for 30 seconds 'cause they're watching a funny video or they're like really, you know, impacted by like an in-depth interview that we do and just to know like they're not alone. And like your favorite celebrity, like their parents got divorced, you know what I mean? Or your favorite celebrity deals with anxiety, you know, and just know that like there's no such thing as, like, you know, that someone's better than you or whatever it might be. It's like, you're amazing and you're beautiful, like for who you are,
yeah.
You know, and that's really special and that's important, like for who you are right now, you know, when we started YSB now, it was like, oh, you know, you're so beautiful now, not when you put on makeup, not when you get a boyfriend, but it's like, no, like, you're so beautiful because of, like, you're so beautiful right now, like, everything about you, like, you're so special, you know what I mean, and you're so unique, and that is really important.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much for having me. I don't often talk about all these, like, topics in one, so this is definitely, this was a really cool chat for so many different reasons, so thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Where can people find you, Colleen?
Yeah, so ysbnow.com is where you'll see kind of all of our content and stuff like that. On all our social media, it's, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at ysbnow. And we just launched our YouTube channel. So youtube.com/YSBnow, you can see like all the videos we've ever done, which has been taken a long time to upload videos from like last year and a half. So you can go there. And then, as far as like my personal stuff, which Instagram is at Colleen Broomall, Twitter is Colleen Broomall, but I don't use Twitter too much.
That sounds good. Well, I will have links to all of those in the show notes on my website.
Awesome.
And I look forward to following you and seeing how things go.
Yeah, likewise. Me too. I'm super excited. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. Me too. Thanks,
Thank
Colleen.
You. And remember, you're so beautiful now. That's
yes.
how we end every interview for YSB Now, so I had to bring it to this. You know?
And you know what? You are so beautiful
Thank
now.
Thank you. So are you. Thank you so much for having me. This was really awesome.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.